When first I landed in Liverpool, I went upon the spree. So begins my favourite four-bitter. What's a four-bitter? It's a song with a story sung by the foremast hands around the bits of a square rigger in the dog watches. The tale unravels with a catalogue of misfortune to which any flying fish sailor would relate. Our hero takes up with a Lime Street girl. Everything goes well until he wakes up the following morning and finds she's done a runner with his watch and what was left of his money. Penniless and desperate for a ship, he falls into the hands of the dreaded crimps and ends up sold out to a no-hope whaler bound for seas so cold that your ration of rum would freeze. The refrain, doubtless appreciated by all hands if the ship were run by a bucko mate who dished up belaying pin soup and used your cruel for breakfast, runs along the lines of, "I'll go to sea no more." Time was when we used to sing songs like that any old evening when a crowd of sailors squeezed into some mug's lamp-lit saloon after a night in the boozer. A talented soul would produce a squeeze box. There might be a guitar, maybe a whistle or two, and if you were lucky, a fiddle. Sometimes there'd also be a shantyman, someone who could put a tune to the shout with a voice that would crack the clouds and a rhythm that went through you, while we all joined in to his developing tale of Jolly Jack outwitting a fat Liverpool scuffer. That's a policeman to you. Usually, the singers were shipmates we all knew, but occasionally a surprise entry would carry the day, creeping out bashfully from behind a beer bottle. I'll never forget the owner of a well-known South Coast boatyard suddenly giving us Captain Kidd. This shocking ballad of blood and vice completely changed the man's image. We loved him when he ground out, "I murdered William Boar and I left him in his gore," and he remains a true friend to this day. Whatever happened to those events? They still occur, of course, but they seem few, far between and often contrived. Their lifeblood was spontaneity, so the very presence of a songbook implies that times have changed for the worse. If you take a songbook along, it says two things. One, you don't know the words, and two, you expect a session will happen and you're determined to see it through. But for the magic to work, it'll only come to life when the chemistry's right. It takes time to learn a song. You can use a book or a CD, but it's best done by osmosis over many a misspent night on the tiles. Because live music on board has thinned out to near vanishing point, we aren't learning any more, and the thing becomes self-defeating. It's not well known, but I like to dish up a ditty myself from time to time. I've noticed that unless I'm with the usual suspects, the initial reaction to a voice raised in joy is a faint embarrassment. There's two reasons for this, I'd say. The first is that people aren't used to live amateur music anymore, but the actual culprit is more subtle. Most of us, me included, have kitted out our yachts with magnificent sound systems which, at the touch of a button, will deliver anything from old Stan Hugill, the last real shantyman, to the Marriage of Figaro. Much of this music isn't recorded live. It's generated in clinical studios to a level of perfection that no four-deck singer in a tiny cabin can hope to emulate. The resulting expectation of manufactured excellence makes us uneasy in the presence of reality. So what do we want? Canned faultlessness, or a slice of life in which we all participate? Think about it. Remember the good times, and resurrect that old guitar.